Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. Let me say that again. Welcome. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. It is the live internet broadcast of Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. Today we're talking about the upcoming war, the war on the saints and the war on Israel. They happen simultaneously. They are waged by the Antichrist during the wrath of Satan, which is known as the Great Tribulation. That period is 1,260 days. So today we'll be focused on the 666 Antichrist prophecy and its connection to the 1,260 days prophecy. In the Book of Revelation, there are 12 visions that John the Revelator shares with us, the readers of the Book of Revelation. They begin with chapter 5. After John shares with us a formal introduction at the end of chapter 1, we have a formal introduction for the Book of Revelation, and then he pins the verbatim words of Jesus Christ. Jesus had seven words for the seven churches that existed on the earth at that time. And finally, John tells us about how he came to receive these visions, these moving pictures in words that he gives us. So he gives us statements of prophecy. He saw moving pictures. And so he has translated these moving pictures, these movies, into words for us. But before he does that, he tells us how he came to see them. So in Revelation chapter 4, John gives us his report on heaven. He was caught up to heaven. So he's literally in heaven, and he tells us what he sees first in heaven. Very interesting. That's all of Revelation chapter 4. And then we get to the meat of the Book of Revelation. We get to the primary content. The bulk of the Book of Revelation are these visions, these moving pictures, these movies, these documentaries, if you will. The Bible refers to them as statements of prophecy. So an omniscient God has been to our future, created moving pictures, visions for John the Revelator to be shown when he's called up to heaven. John sees these moving pictures, but these aren't Saturday morning cartoons. I think cartoons are 24 hours a day now, but these aren't cartoons. These aren't fictionalized movies. These are documentaries. These are curated pictures of actual events in the future. John the Revelator refers to them as visions. I think in today's language, we would refer to them as movies. So he didn't, these were literally shown to him, and he went to the location required in order for him to see them, in the same way that last Friday I went to a specific location so that I could see moving pictures. I went to see Creed 3. We went to see Creed 3. It was a fantastic movie. I enjoyed it very much. Getting back to the Book of Revelation, Creed 3, the Rocky series, Mission Impossible, these are stories that man has created. In contrast, the moving pictures John the Revelator was shown, the visions, these are not made-up events. These are literal realities. So we're told that the book of Revelation includes prophecies that are sure to come to pass. At the end of the book, the angel who was tasked with showing John the Revelator these moving pictures, these visions, says these statements are reliable. What statements? The statements of prophecy. So when John writes them down, they become statements of prophecy. So in verse 6 of chapter 22, that's the beginning of the conclusion, John the Revelator says to us, "And he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his messenger angel to make known and exhibit to his servants what must soon come to pass." What does that mean? To exhibit, John the Revelator goes to this specific location in heaven to see an exhibit in the same way that I often go to Smithsonian museums to look at a specific exhibit. So he goes to see an exhibit. What's the exhibit? 12 moving pictures, 12 documentaries, if you will, which he gives words. So he's not able to show us these moving pictures, these visions. So he describes them in great detail to the best of his ability. And we have his descriptions in the book of Revelation, beginning with chapter 5 and ending with verse 5 of chapter 22. So he gives us all that was exhibited to him when he went to a specific physical location in heaven. The angel presented the exhibit to John, and now I am going to present the exhibit for us. We are going to hear two of the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. Chapter 13 is the 666 Antichrist prophecy. Its focus is, in part, the war on the saints. It's the war to come. And chapter 12, the 1,260 days prophecy, it's the war on Israel. It's to come. These wars overlap each other in time. The first war begins with a war on Israel. When the frustration of Satan increases, he takes it up a notch, and then concurrent with the war on Israel, which will have already begun, he wages a second war, and that's the war on the saints. So we're going to hear first the 666 Antichrist prophecy so that we can contrast it, compare it, and see the similarities that exist with respect to time, how it overlaps, so we can get some of the details of the timing of how these events will play out in the very near future. Revelation chapter 13 says, I'm going to go to the full report. As you may know, each of these documentaries begins with the movie trailer, and then it goes to the full movie. In professional writing, this format is often used for complex reports, and we call the movie trailer an abstract. And when it continues, we get the full report. So you're going to hear the movie trailer followed by the movie in its entirety in words. Here it is. The 666 Antichrist prophecy, starting with the movie trailer. "Then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns, with 10 crowns on its horns. And written on each head were names that blasphemed God. The beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his own power and throne and great authority. I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. The whole world marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. They worshipped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worshipped the beast. "Who is as great as the beast?" they exclaimed. "Who is able to fight against him?" Then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. So that is the movie trailer for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. It ends with the cliffhanger about this beast and how he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. You guessed it, the beast is the Antichrist, the mouthpiece for the 10-nation alliance that will dominate economic and political affairs during the 1,260-day Great Tribulation. Now, let's hear the full report. So we've heard the movie trailer for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. In professional writing terms, it's known as an abstract. Now let's hear the full report. So we're not confused. I was not confused. You were not confused when you saw the trailer for Creed 3 and then at the movie, scenes from the trailer are in the movie. We understand that the trailer is a snapshots of what will be shown in a larger piece of work that we call the movie. In the same way, in professional writing, when this format is used, and it's used consistently for all of the visions that were exhibited to John, all of these documentaries, these statements of prophecy, I'm saying the same thing using different words, so that you can grab on to the language that resonates for you, the language that allows you to really wrap your brain around what is happening here. So now that we've heard the summary of the full report, that's called the abstract, now we're going to hear the full report. It begins with verse 6. "And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them." There it is, friend. "And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them." So right at the beginning of the full report, we get the key point. The beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people. So this prophecy, the 666 Antichrist prophecy, gives us a lot of information. But the key issue, the focus is the war that the Antichrist will wage against who? God's holy people, the saints, the bride, Christians, the wild olive tree, those who have been grafted in. Let's continue. "And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anyone who is destined for prison will be taken to prison. Anyone destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful." So the end of verse 10 is the instruction. It is the admonition and instruction for the church. So each statement of prophecy has one, two, or three things included. Number one, predictions, reports of future events that are sure to come to pass. So 100%, all 12 of the statements of prophecy have predictions. Some of the 12 statements of prophecy also include admonitions. And what's an admonition? Warning and instructions. Number three, some statements of prophecy have consolations. These are words provided for the purpose of creating hope in the face of distressing information and events. So these statements of prophecy are designed to do these things. Number one, to communicate to you and I, as readers of the book of Revelation, to communicate predictions that are sure to come to pass, to share secret information about events that will happen on this present earth, events that will happen in heaven, events that will happen underneath the earth in Hades, and events that will happen on the new earth to come. Number three, the statements of prophecy are designed to provide hope, hope in the face of distressing information and events. Now, let's hear this admonition, this warning with an instruction for the saints, for God's holy people, for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, for the truth seekers who have found and followed God's plan for salvation. Verse 10 of chapter 13 says, this means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. So we must endure this war that will be waged. What war? It's the war against God's holy people, the war that the Antichrist will wage during the Great Tribulation. You say, well, how do we know? Well, we're going to hear more about this war, but we were told in the movie trailer that there are 42 months where the beast is allowed to do whatever he wants. It says, in verse 5, he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. And now we're told in verses 9 and 10, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now, what are we supposed to understand? It's here in verse 10. Anyone who is destined for prison will be taken to prison. Anyone destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. There are those individuals who will die by the sword. But all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life ultimately will be resurrected, will participate in the first resurrection described in Revelation chapter 14 in the earth prophecy and reported as a past event in Revelation 20 in the millennial reign prophecy. So we see a report of the resurrection in the earth prophecy when the harvest actually happens, and then we see a report during the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this present earth after it's already happened. Nonetheless, anyone destined to die by the sword during this war waged on Christians during the 42 months will die by the sword. So if you are destined to die by the sword, you will die by the sword. If you are destined for prison, you will be taken to prison. Now, what are you supposed to do? It says, God's holy people, I believe that's you. We are included among God's holy people. We must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. Now, how can you be patient if you're in prison? Now, remember, Paul went to prison. He was in chains, and he wrote a letter of instruction from prison, believing that he would ultimately be released. He was in prayer and asking those he wrote to pray for him, and he was released supernaturally. Any person taken to prison during the Great Tribulation is sure to triumph. Any Christian taken to prison during the Great Tribulation ultimately will triumph. Any Christian who dies during the Great Tribulation ultimately will triumph. And that triumph isn't going to come 10 years later, 20 years later, 100 years later, 1,000 years later. It's going to come very quickly because the Great Tribulation is limited to 42 months. The Antichrist, we're told, is permitted to do whatever he wants, but only for 42 months. The wrath of God follows the wrath of Satan, and it culminates with the return of Jesus Christ, which has two key events. Number one, the marriage of the Lamb, that's the resurrection, and the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's the battle of Armageddon. Now, let's continue here. In the 666 Antichrist prophecy, we hear the instruction for God's holy people. God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. What does that mean, to remain faithful? Do not take the mark of the beast, which we're about to hear about. Do not give in to the plans and purposes of Satan. Appreciate that this time of great distress is limited. It's finite. It has an end point, and that's the last day of 42 months. That's the last day of a 3.5-year period. We say, well, what day is that? That's day number 1,260. We're going to hear that in the 1,260 days prophecy in a moment. Let's continue here. In the 666 Antichrist prophecy, the focus of this prophecy is the reality that the Antichrist will lead a war waged on the saints, God's holy people. Continuing in verse 11, it says, "Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth." So John the Revelator is telling us what he saw next. "He had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon." Let's unpack that. This is talking about the false prophet. The false prophet will appear like a lamb. Well, who's the lamb? The lamb is Jesus Christ. He will appear to be a man of God. It says, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. So he will speak Satan's words. The dragon is revealed as Satan in chapter 12 in the 1,260 days prophecy, and in chapter 20 in the millennial reign prophecy, we're told explicitly that the dragon is Satan. So let's hear now about the false prophet. It says, "Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth. He had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast." Who's the first beast? That's the Antichrist, the mouthpiece for the Ten Nation Alliance. "He exercised all the authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast." So he's in charge of worship. He's in charge of the harlot church described in the purple and scarlet prophecy. He's in charge of the one world religion promoted by the Ten Nation Alliance, the one world government that will dominate political and economic affairs during the 42 months where the Antichrist does whatever he wants. Says he exercised all the authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. He did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. We are coming to the time when miracles will not only be seen and known and accepted as reality by those in the church, but miracles will be seen and known and accepted by the people of this world. But these miracles performed by the false prophet are from the supernatural power of Satan, not the supernatural power of God. So the false prophet is going to literally call down fire from the sky. It will be a real miracle, supernatural power, but it's a counterfeit. And you say, well, how is it a counterfeit if it's real supernatural power? The real miracle is when God calls down supernatural fire from the sky to consume Satan and all of those who are waging war at the end of the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this earth. Fire is called down, and it consumes those people, those mortals who are persuaded. They're persuaded by Satan. They believe that they're going to take back the earth. Let's go to it just for a moment. So I said that that's a counterfeit miracle. Let's hear the real one. Revelation 20, verse 10 says, then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone. Wait, let me go back up. Verse 8 and 9 of Revelation 20, and he will go forth to deceive and seduce and lead astray the nations, who's he, Satan, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to muster them for war. Their number is like the sand of the sea. So when Satan is released at the end of the first 1,000 years of Jesus Christ, the mortals who are on the earth at that time, they're seduced and led astray. And they think they're going for a war. They don't realize that the marriage supper of the Lamb is the last war that will ever happen on this earth or on the new earth to come. The Bible tells us that. So they think they're going to wage war against Jesus Christ and the saints. And it says their number is like the sand of the sea. And they swarmed up over the broad plain of the earth and encircled the fortress, camp of God's people, the saints, and the beloved city. But fire descended from heaven and consumed them. But fire descended from heaven and consumed them. So that is the real miracle. Satan, knowing that this is the reality that awaits the last group of people he's able to take with him to Gehenna, the last group of people he's able to take with him to the second death, they're going to be consumed with this real miracle. Well, why is it real? Because it's from the supernatural power of God. But here, there's a counterfeit inspired by Satan. The false prophet will perform this miracle. It says, making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. Well, how's everyone watching? They're probably watching on their cell phones or whatever electronic device is used at that time. They're watching on Fox News. They're watching on CNN. They're watching on C-SPAN. They're watching on Al Jazeera. They're watching on the BBC. Let's continue with verse 14. And with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast. So again, telling us the false prophet, the leader of the harlot church, the church where they wear purple and scarlet, as described in Revelation 17 and 18 in the purple and scarlet prophecy. The false prophet is not performing these miracles in isolation. He's inspired by Satan, and he's working on behalf of the Antichrist. He's working in tandem alongside the Antichrist. He's exercising the authority of the first beast, the Antichrist. So he will perform miracles, and all the world will see them. And continuing at verse 14, he deceived all the people who belong to this world. What does that mean? The people who belong to this world are those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast. Who does this remind you of? Sounds like Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted to bring together people so that they would all be under the one world government that he presided over at that time. So the false prophet's going to commission a statue of the Antichrist. It says, he ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast, who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was then permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. What does that mean? There's something about the statue that will allow it to speak. So there's a technology there, perhaps. Perhaps it's the supernatural power of Satan, but in some way, a statue is able to speak. And it says, then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. So that suggests that the statue is in many places. And somehow, when one is in the presence of the statue, there's the ability to detect whether an individual is worshiping or not. And if an individual fails to worship the beast, it must die. So perhaps worship is bowing down. Perhaps it's kneeling. The Bible doesn't reveal specifically what actions are considered appropriate worship by the false prophet and the Antichrist. But we are told that anyone who refuses to engage in those required actions must die. So what is the required action? To worship the statue of the beast, worship the statue of the Antichrist. Then in verse 16 it says, he required everyone, who's he required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without the mark, which was either the name of the beast. So that's the name of the Antichrist, or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So this tells us that there will be a requirement during the 42 months where the Antichrist, the first beast, is allowed to do whatever he wants. There will be the requirement of small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to get the mark of the beast on one of two locations, on one's forehead, that's a counterfeit, or on one's right hand. So the mark of the beast is a counterfeit of the mark of God. The mark of God will go on the forehead of all who are victorious. That's revealed in the New Earth prophecy. In Revelation chapter 22, at the end of the New Earth prophecy, it's also discussed in the seven letters of seven churches. Jesus tells one of the churches, all who are victorious, I will place on them the name of my God, my own new name, and the name of the city of my God. So in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we have the seven letters to seven churches, and it's revealed there. It's also revealed in, again, the New Earth prophecy in Revelation 22. What's my take-home point? Satan is a liar, and his team is comprised of liars. Well, who's Satan's team? Who's the team of Satan? Who's Satan's team? It's the Antichrist and the false prophet who will work in tandem during this 42 months. So we just heard the movie trailer and the full movie, the full report. Words given to describe the moving pictures John was shown in heaven. This documentary, the 666 Antichrist prophecy, take home point. During the 42 months, there will be a war waged on God's holy people. Now, let's go to the focus of our time today. We've looked at that so that we can compare and contrast it with the war waged on Israel during the same period of time. Our second goal is to get secrets about the timing. So if there's a war that's going to be waged on God's holy people, and there is, we just heard about it in the 666 Antichrist, what will happen during the same period of time, during the same 42 months where the first beast, the Antichrist, is allowed to do whatever he wants, according to verse 5 of Revelation chapter 13, what happens to the nation of Israel during the same period? Let's hear it. Revelation chapter 12 is the 1,260 days prophecy. So today we're focused on the war on Israel and its comparison to, we're comparing and contrasting it with the war waged on the saints. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? We need to understand the timing of these events. And I believe that you will see what I mean when we get to the end of the 1,260 days prophecy. Let's begin with verse 1 of chapter 12, going all the way to the end of the movie trailer, the end of the abstract. Here it is. Verse 1 of chapter 12 begins with, "Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth." Now, this movie trailer is interesting. God goes way, way, way back in time. Oh, you say, well, what do you mean he goes way back in time? Well, we're talking about the war on Israel during the Great Tribulation. That's in the future. So today is March 9th of 2023. Hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened yet, but here we are in a documentary focused on what happens to Israel during the Great Tribulation, but it begins with going way back in time. Sometimes directors do that. Sometimes you watch a movie trailer and it starts at a point very early in time, a point far away from where the movie's going to end. So that's what has happened here. She was pregnant and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Now what has happened here? Israel is going to yield a male child destined to rule the earth with an iron rod. That male child is Jesus Christ. Let's hear it again. "Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance." Indeed, the birth of Jesus Christ was extremely significant. When he died on the cross, he said, "And it is finished." The ability for us to get in right standing with God was finished. The ability for us to transition from mortality to immortality was finished. So it says, so indeed it was extremely significant. "Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head." The 12 tribes of Israel are a crown. "She was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event." So now we're moving forward. The first significant event, Jesus Christ is about to be born. Israel is suffering because Jesus Christ is about to be born. Then it says, "Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns with 7 crowns on his head." Now, we have fast-forwarded in time. How do we know that? Well, we have a report of Satan, that's the dragon, and he has 7 heads and 10 horns with 7 crowns on his heads. These are the 7 heads and 10 horns described in Daniel chapter 7. When God shows Daniel a vision of the nations that will be on the earth during the time of his second coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. The nations that will send armies led by the kings of the earth who are part of this 10-nation alliance, armies to wage war against Israel for the Battle of Armageddon. We have to understand this. In a movie trailer, it goes very fast. You go from one scene to the next. We have fast-forwarded in time. So again, how do we know this? It begins with saying, here's one significant event. Jesus Christ is about to be born. Now here's the second significant event. There's a dragon, Satan, and he is the one who inspires the 10-nation alliance that will be led by the Antichrist, which has initially 10 horns, but ultimately the Antichrist puts down 3 of the horns and he takes their place. And so now we're left a total of 7 crowns. So on the head of Israel are the 12 tribes. Jesus Christ has, I mean to say, the 12 tribes of Israel. God is for the 12 tribes of Israel. Satan is for the 10-nation alliance led by 7 crowns. Let's continue. It says in verse 4, his tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. So 1/3 of the stars. Now, who are stars? In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, in the introduction, we're told about 7 stars and how these 7 stars are the 7 angels assigned to the 7 churches that existed on the earth at that time when John the Revelator was in his corruptible flesh on this present earth. Now he's in heaven, but at that time he was on this present earth. A star is used as a metaphor for an angel in the book of Revelation. So Satan has 1/3 of the angels. As you know, 1/3 of the angels are fallen. They were deceived by Satan. They follow Satan. But God has retained 2/3 of the angels. So here it says, his tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. So Satan was hoping to take out Jesus Christ as soon as he was born. As soon as Israel gave birth to Jesus Christ, he was hoping to devour the Lamb of God. Why? Because he knew that he only had the power of death. He only had the keys to death and Hades so long as God didn't take them back. Now let's continue. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. Now who gave birth to Jesus Christ? Who was destined to rule all nations with an iron rod? We're told earlier in the book of Revelation that Jesus will give an iron rod similar to that he has to all who are victorious. So clearly this is revealed to us in verse 5 of chapter 12, she gave birth to a son. Israel gave birth to Jesus Christ, who is destined to rule all nations. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's going to rule the nations on this present earth with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. Now, it's referring to Jesus Christ as a child. Why? Jesus Christ is the fruit of Israel. And he died on the cross, and he was resurrected. He was snatched away from the dragon. So when Jesus died on the cross, he had no sins. He descended to the belly of the earth for 3.5 days, and he took back those keys. What keys? The keys to death and Hades. Now you say, well, how do you know that? He tells us that. In the preface for the book of Revelation, we're told what it all means. we're told the take-home point. Let's hear it. It says, Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince ruler of the kings of the earth, to him, whoever loves us and has once for all loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood and formed us into a kingdom of royal race, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall gaze upon him and beat their breasts and mourn and lament over him. Even so must it be. Amen. So be it. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, he who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. I am looking. Verse 18, so later in the same chapter, in the introduction, in the introduction to the book of Revelation, which is narrated by both Jesus Christ and John the Revelator, just like the conclusion, Jesus says in verse 18, I am living in the eternity of the eternities. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore, and I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. That's the scripture I was looking for. We've arrived at it. Again, Jesus says, I died, but see, I am alive forevermore, and I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. So, we're in the 1,260 days prophecy, making sense of what God is telling us. So God chooses to tell us the story of Israel. Now, the take-home point is what happens to Israel during the 1,260 days. But God says, wait, I need to give you some background. I need to let you know how this all started. So he goes way back. And then in this movie trailer, he tells us the end. Jesus is destined to rule all nations with an iron rod. And then it says, and her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. After Jesus Christ descended, he took back the keys to Hades and death. You just heard that. He said that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. So he has those keys now. So he's telling us, I have them now. But when did he get them? When he died on the cross, he went down to Hades. Because he was sinless, they could not hold him there. So he was able to take those back. And then it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. Now, this moves so fast. Let me explain what happened. Verse 6 is the end of the movie trailer for the 1,260 days prophecy. Verse 5 tells us Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. And then in verse 6, we go to a new scene. We fast forward in time, and Israel flees into the wilderness where God's prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. You say, well, wait a minute, research scientist. That doesn't make sense to me. Let's take a look at this timing. So remember, a movie trailer moves very quickly. An abstract, which is a movie trailer in words, that's the language we use in professional writing, moves very fast, just like a movie trailer. Let me show you the proof. So in verse 2 of chapter 12, we have the report of Israel about to give birth. We have the report that Jesus Christ is about to be born. She was pregnant and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. They faced tremendous trials and problems. Why? Because Jesus Christ was about to be born. Okay, so there we are, more than 2,000 years ago. Then we fast forward to verse 4, Satan is standing in front of the woman ready to devour her as soon as her baby is born. Verse 5, she gave birth to a son. Jesus Christ is born. Later in verse 5, Jesus Christ is called up to God and to his throne. So he's already died. And then finally in verse 6, God has prepared a place for her, talking about Israel. So let's get this thread. Let's make sure we have the thread that where we see that we have discussion of Jesus Christ, but the point is how the woman is persecuted due to her connection to Jesus Christ. And the ultimate point of this prophecy is to share with us, to reveal the secret of what will happen to Israel during the 42 months described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. So we're told that Israel has 12 tribes, and we're told that Israel suffered due to the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, was going to be coming forth from her. That's in Revelation verse 2, chapter 12. Then we're told in verse 4 of the same chapter that Satan is ready to take out Jesus Christ, but nonetheless, Jesus Christ does come from Israel. He is born. And now, what does this same woman, Israel, do in our future, in very shortly after the third temple is rebuilt and as described in 2 Thessalonians, the Antichrist will stand in the temple declaring that he's God, as described also in the book of Daniel. What's going to happen? Israel's going to flee. But God has prepared a place to care for her. God will continue to take care of Israel, even though the Antichrist is going to wage war against her. So it says God will care for her for 1,260 days. Now, you say, well, does that mean that God doesn't care for her like before the 1,260 days or after? No, not at all. Not at all. This is revealed to communicate that despite the fact that the Antichrist is permitted to do whatever he wants, we're told in Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, for 42 months, for that same period of time, though he wages a war against the saints at a certain point, God's holy people, and he wages a war against Israel, God will care for her, not for half the time or 25% of the time or most of the time, but 100% of the time. God will care for Israel for 100% of the period of the Great Tribulation, for 100% of the time of the 42 months. And here it says 1,260 days. I think you have already figured this out. 42 30-day months is exactly 1,260 days. So when you multiply 42 times 30, you get 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. So we're talking about the period of the wrath of Satan. That's the Great Tribulation. Now, how will God take care of Israel? Now, he tells us in this fantastic movie trailer that he has prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a very exciting abstract. I want to read the full report. Let's hear it. Verses 7 to 18 will give us the full report of what happens to the woman during the 1,260 days. Now, we already know what happens to the saints. So we've gone ahead and we've looked at chapter 13, which describes the war on the saints, and it gives us an instruction, gives us an admonition and instruction, verses 9 to 10. But now We're in Revelation 12. We're in the 1,260 days prophecy. We're going to hear the full report. What happens to Israel? Here it is, beginning with verse 7. Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." Do not be afraid to die during the great tribulation. We will not love our lives so much that we will be afraid to die, knowing that this is a corruptible body, and we are guaranteed, we are promised immortality, an incorruptible body, a glorified and perfected body, just like the one that Jesus Christ put on when he rose from the grave and ascended to heaven, where he sits right now at the right hand of the Father. Continuing, it says, "Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time." Now, when does he come down? When does he have little time? At the beginning of the great tribulation, he has little time. Now, it doesn't give us an exact date here, but we're told that there will be a war in heaven and that this war happens at a point where the devil has little time. So Satan inspires the Antichrist and the false prophet, giving them his instructions and supernatural power when he has little time. It says, when the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Now, this is key. We're going to unlock the secrets of the timing in verses 13 to 17 of chapter 12. When the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Now, the 1,260 days is noted as the time where God has prepared a place to care for the woman, Israel. Why does he need to do that? His care began going way back to Abraham and continues to this day. But specifically, this documentary, the statement of prophecy, is focused on the 1,260 days when all of a sudden Satan's time is really short. It ends with day number 1,260. It ends with the Great Tribulation ending because the wrath of Satan, the Great Tribulation, is followed by the wrath of God, the seven final plagues, as described in Revelation 15 and 16 in the seven plagues prophecy. Now let's continue. When the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. So Satan's going to pursue Israel with vigor. It says, but she was given two wings, like those of a great eagle, so she could fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. There, she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a time, times, and half a time. Israel will not be destroyed. Despite the wishes, the desires, the fervent efforts of the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation, Israel will be cared for and protected from Satan for how long? Time, times, and half a time. So in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we're told about the 7 years, the seven times. In the Bible, time means a year. Times with an S means 2 years. And if a time is a year, then half a time is half a year. So she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for 3.5 years. That's 42 months. We were already told in the movie trailer 1,260 days. Okay, so God confirming the timing here. Verse 15, then the dragon tried to drown the woman with the flood of water that flowed from his mouth. But the earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed out from the mouth of the dragon. Now, what does this mean? During this 1,260 days, which is the Great Tribulation, the Antichrist wages a war against Israel inspired by Satan. Satan will cause a flood. And that flood is so fantastic in power and strength and magnitude that it should destroy the nation of Israel. But the earth is going to open up and swallow all of that water that no doubt Satan and the meteorologists will say, oh, no, Israel's going to be destroyed. The flood is coming. What? No, there's nothing that can be done. Israel's going to be destroyed. But Israel's not destroyed. The earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed out from the mouth of the dragon. Now, why is this important? This flood of water is important because it's a marker in time. It's a marker in time that reveals a secret about when the war on the saints will begin during the Great Tribulation. Now, we're told that the Antichrist grows in power and dominion across the 42 months. We're told that in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, Revelation chapter 13. Now, when does the war on the saints begin? Here it is. Verse 17 says, and the dragon was angry at the woman. So Satan's angry at Israel and declared war against the rest of her children. The rest of her children are the saints. How do we know? It tells us here the end of verse 17. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. Who maintains their testimony for Jesus? It's the wild olive tree. Those of us who have been grafted in, it is the saints of God. Then the dragon took his stand on the shore beside the sea. So Revelation chapter 12 ends with telling us about the reality of a war being waged on Israel for 1,260 days. It reveals that this war includes Satan using his power to create a fantastic flood of significant strength and magnitude that should be sufficient to take Israel out, but in fact it will not. The earth will open up. When Satan is again defeated and humiliated, he becomes angry, and instead of him giving up, instead of him repenting, he decides to take it up a notch. And he says, not only am I going to continue to wage war against Israel, but now I'm going to wage war against the rest of her children, those who maintain their testimony for Jesus. And in the next chapter, in the next statement of prophecy, we hear about that war waged on the saints. What's the take-home point for today? The 1,260 days prophecy reveals the secret of the timing of the beginning of the war waged against the church during the Great Tribulation. You don't have to wonder, when does it start? So Christians are already enduring persecution in various degrees in the world. But it is going to be official. It's going to kick into high gear. It's going to be an official war waged against the church, the saints, when the flood comes against Israel and the earth supernaturally opens up. That is the beginning, the commencement of the war on the saints during the Great Tribulation. I hope this has been an interesting and an exciting talk for you. I invite you to be with me and to be with us as we continue in March of 2023, more discussion and analysis of the 1,260 days prophecy every Thursday at 9 a.m. Central. That's 9 a.m. Texas time and 10 a.m. Eastern time. We are live on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, talking about secrets in the book of Revelation. And every Sunday at 12 noon Texas time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, we are live here on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, talking about the 1,260 days prophecy in March. We're going to focus on the 666 Antichrist prophecy in April, and we'll continue so that this year we look at and examine all the statements of prophecy, all of the moving pictures that were exhibited to John by the angel when he was called up to heaven. Friend, I believe that you are a truth seeker. That's why you're listening to PGN. That's why you want to hear the book of the Revelation, the book of Revelation. God promises to bless you. God promises a special blessing for every truth seeker who hears the book of Revelation and the statements of prophecy. It is a very good use of your time. It's the only book in the Bible for which hearing it and reading it has a special blessing. I want to read that right now as we conclude for today. It says, blessed, happy to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. So I declare and decree that you are blessed because you lay to heart these truths revealed in the prophecies of the book of Revelation. And I urge you, according to Jeremiah 33:3, call out to God today. And he promises to show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.